Well, good morning and welcome to The Grove. If I haven't met you before, my name is Ryan, one of the pastors on staff, and welcome to Super Bowl Sunday. That's about what we got in the first session as well, as far as enthusiasm for this year's Super Bowl. So out of curiosity, I've seen some jerseys. How many of you guys in here are Chiefs fans? Any Chiefs fans? Sit down. All right, any Eagles fans in here? Okay, all right. Okay. Anybody don't care, not going to watch, just going to take a nap today. All right, cool. Yeah. My wife made my kids, my boys, shirts. She's got a cricket at home. I don't know if any of you know what a cricket is. It's not an animal or an insect. It's a little thing you can make. Anyway, she made shirts for them for Super Bowl. And I could best aptly describe my outlook on this year's Super Bowl by my youngest son, Cade's shirt. And he picked this out. He said, "I'm just here for the snacks. I'm just here for the food." All right. And regardless if you are a Kansas City fan or you are a Philadelphia fan, let's just be honest, rest of America loses, okay? The rest of America just loses today, okay? In fact, I had a buddy of mine, I've seen some of this, like, there's a friend of mine, you guys know him, he helped us with our building project. He's the clown that stood up over here and yelled in his Chiefs jersey a second ago. His name's Pete, and out of nowhere, I've talked to this guy for 2 years almost every single day for our building project. In fact, my wife said that I talked to him more than I talked to her during that span of time. And we use what's called Marco Polo. Does anyone know what Marco Polo is?
Yeah.
It's the Snapchat for Gen Xers, so that's what we call it. You send videos back and forth. And in all of 2 years, I had no idea he was a Chiefs fan. And then I see this Facebook post, and he says, "Go Chiefs." And I'm like, "What? Like, I don't even know you, right?" So, but he did send me something yesterday. I have to give some credit where it's due. He's not a bandwagon Chiefs fan. In fact, if you look at his jersey, he sent me a Marco Polo. I think I watched it this morning. It was of his closet and how many jerseys he has. And he literally said, "You see this? It says Reebok on my Chiefs jersey." That's how far back you have to go before Nike was the official jersey. So he was a fan for a while. So listen, glad that you are here today, whether you're going to be watching the Super Bowl or not. We're finishing out a message series that we started a few weeks ago called One Small Step. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to take those out, or if you've got a Bible app on your phone or a tablet, you can follow along there as well. We're going to be in a few different places. We're going to start in 2 Peter, all the way towards the back of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And as you're turning there, the idea of this series really culminates in this idea. You and I, every single one of us, whether we recognize it, whether we realize it or not, are on a journey. And every journey starts with what? This is not a trick question. Yeah, it starts with one step. Anytime you're going to go on a journey, if you're going to go on a hike in Mount Rainier, you're going to go climb Pilchuck, every journey when you get out of that car starts with one step. Same with life, same with your faith journey, same with all of it. And every single one of us is on a journey. And the reality is that we have a faith journey as well. This is not a foreign concept to you and I that we're on a journey. Life is a journey, isn't it? Right? There's some ups and some downs in life, right? There's things that we go through where we're on some mountaintop experiences. I think about some of the greatest in my life is getting married to my wife, right? When I had kids come into this world, those are some incredible moments. When I found Jesus was obviously the best moment of my life. And there's also some down moments. Life's a journey, isn't it? When things don't go how we planned or how we thought, right? Sometimes bad things happen to us that were beyond our control and wasn't our doing. Sometimes we go through hard things that are under our control because the choices are a step we decided to do, but we're all on a journey, and every journey begins with one small step, and it continues with another and another and another. Again, I mentioned this isn't something that we're unaware of. This happens in different areas of our lives all the time. Let's talk about a few of them. The professions that we're in. Your career, or maybe right now in your process of life, it's a job. You haven't reached a career yet. But we know that to get where you are, for some of you, your story went a little something like this. To get into your career, it started by, these are just some high points, not like every single day for 20 years how you got there, but you probably had to graduate from high school, a high school diploma, and then you went on to college, and you got your prerequisites out of the way, and then you chose a major. Right, and then you graduated. Maybe you did an undergraduate degree and you went on to a graduate degree, right? And now you're in your career. I think that we can understand that there was steps in a journey that got you to where you are today, right? For some of us, in that same vein of a profession, a job or career, it looks very different. In fact, I've met several people, worked for one, doesn't even have a high school diploma, doesn't have a GED, and makes more money than I could possibly ever make in my lifetime, and they make it within a few years. Highly successful entrepreneurs. Maybe you started your own business, and your journey and your steps weren't higher education, but you learned with street smarts, and you read books, and you watched people, and you grinded it out, and you've developed and curated what you have today, right? These are things where there is a journey and steps that we take in that area. Here's another one, health and fitness, right? And exercise. Anybody who's involved in health, exercise, and the fitness world, you know that you can't just go work out one time at a gym and come home and see all the results in the mirror that you wanted, right, in one go. No, it takes day after day after day of committing to the journey and taking the steps to get physically fit. And even with that, you know, it's not just about exercise, and all of us know this. It's about eating healthy as well. You got to combine those things together, which is a poor Sunday to talk about on a Super Bowl Sunday when we're going to go all eat a ton of not good things, right? This isn't foreign to us. But I want to say this. Your current reality, where you sit in this seat this morning, February 9th, 2025, your current reality, my current reality, is the byproduct of the steps and the journey that you have been on to bring you to where you are today. Where you sit today is a byproduct of the steps and choices. Some of them are not choices, but things that happen to you that brings you to where you are today. And for some of us today, life is good. Family's healthy, bank account can pay the bills. Right, we've got certain things that we've thought about that brings a successful life and things that we wanted to invest into and pour our time and resources into to build whatever life that we wanted. And for some of us today, life is good. And for others of us, life is unraveling and falling apart. And this is not just some kind of allegory or story. Like, this really is happening in the people's lives. At any given time, at any given moment in a church, there's people where you're at rock bottom, you're not sure if you want to continue, you're not sure what's going to happen. And sometimes that rock bottom and that tough situation that you walk through, sometimes it's by unfair things that have happened to you. Sometimes life just happens and it's not fun and you're not really sure why. And you ask God, why did you do this? And you're trying to figure it out and walk your way through. For others of us, we sit in those moments and maybe it was a decision or a step you made that's caused you to be sitting in the place that you're sitting where everything is falling apart. We're all on a journey. But the good news is this. I want you to hear this. If you're in a really rough spot, this is applicable to everybody, but if you're in a really rough spot right now, and you say, Ryan, yeah, I'm probably more towards the latter of what you just described in the situation in my life right now, I want you to hear this. The good news is today is just one spot in one chapter of your story. Your story is not completed yet. This is just a moment in time in one chapter in your story. Take courage and understand that God can still be working through it, and the decisions and the choices and the steps that you make now will help dictate your future tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Your story isn't finished yet. The future is unwritten. If life is good for you as you come in this morning, that is amazing. I'm grateful and glad that things are going well for you. And I would say, with all things, that you would find ways to use how things are well and strong and healthy to be on mission with God to impact people around you, starting with you and your relationship with Jesus, your family directly if you're married, your kids if you have children, if you've got grandchildren, same kind of thing. But also be reminded that just because it's good right now doesn't mean tomorrow's not promised, right? In fact, I just talked with somebody in the lobby this morning, and they came in, and Tuesday, just a regular Tuesday morning this last week, while most of us were dealing with snow, they were dealing with a really severe health situation out of nowhere and had to go into heart surgery. Like, tomorrow, things just happen sometimes, and it's not necessarily promised. One step or one decision, one small step in the wrong direction, wrong decision, wrong execution can tear everything down. And so, the reality is that you and I are all on a journey. We accept this. We understand it in a lot of those categories that we talked about. But for some reason, when it comes to this issue of faith, our belief in Christ, sometimes it's coined the term our Christian walk or our walk with God. this idea of intentional investment, of taking steps, is lost on us. Or at least sometimes there's very little and sometimes no intentionality behind our faith journey. If someone were to ask you, well, why are you here? How did you get to where you're at? I don't know. I was raised in church, right? We all have unique stories, but there's not intentionality behind it like the intentionality we put into our work and into our business and into our investments and into our entertainment and into our stuff and into our finances, into all these things. We pour our time and our investment into it, but our faith kind of just happens. It's more of a reactive than an active. It's more passive than it is active. And the truth remains that you and I are on a faith journey. And the Bible talks about this. There's this theme that runs from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it's a little, it would be hard to find a nice little verse that wraps it up with the bow that says this. It's a little like, for a moment, I'll relate it to the idea of the word Trinity. Right, you won't find the word Trinity in Scripture, but we know that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and there's verses all through Genesis, 1 John, that point us clearly that God is three different persons. And so the word Trinity isn't there, but we see the theme of it screamed loud and clear. In the same way, this idea that you and I are on a faith journey is all throughout Old Testament and New. I mean, choose any character in Old Testament. Adam, Moses, Noah, David. We could call out, probably for those of us that have been in church, some of those mile marker incredible moments, like David killing Goliath, right? Having these incredible things happen. We could probably state and remember the horrible defeats. David committing adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed. Like, we know these high points, but if you look at any one of their lives, it was a process of step after step after step. And we see it in the New Testament as well. And I want to give you four. There's a lot more than this, but I want to read just four passages in the New Testament that speak to this idea that you and I are on a journey, a faith journey of discovering who God is and who we are and what's our purpose on this planet. And it's not lost on me that we sang a song this morning. We sang a song this morning that says, you can have all the world. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. You can have everything else. You are my one thing. I don't want anyone else. I don't want anything else. You are my one thing. But the reality of how we live is we should be singing, you are maybe one of my things. Because that's how you and I live, because we're distracted and we're human and we have flesh that pulls us to side. We're not aware that we need to be intentional about our faith like we're intentional about our job and our kids and the things that we pay attention to. So I want to give you four of these. The first one I had you turn there is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Now remember, this is Peter. Big boy Peter, walked on water Peter, right? First one of the disciples to claim out loud with his mouth that Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher or a rabbi, but he was the Christ. He was the Messiah, Peter. This is Peter who also, his low points, denied Jesus three times. But Peter says this, and I want you to follow along on this idea that you and I, this truth, that we're on a journey of faith. And Peter says this, speaking of Jesus, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evildoers. Now check this out. Verse 5. Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Peter says, make every effort. Be intentional. Be specific, be active, don't be passive. He says, make every effort to add to your faith, and then he gives us a list, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. We see a process of taking steps. Peter says, start to add these things to your faith in Christ. And it's not just one at a time. You stick, okay, goodness, in the tool belt, right? Okay, put this in the tool belt. Okay, put mutual affection in the tool belt. Okay, put love. No, he says this coming next. He says, for if you possess these things, these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how it's a process? You're going to gain goodness, and it's going to grow in measure. And you're going to add to it something else, and it's going to grow in measure. Does this make sense? He's pointing out to this process of taking steps. But whoever does not have them, he said, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort, he says again, to confirm your calling and election. Church, hear me. You have been called and you have been elected. You have been chosen. It's not just pastors. It's not just clergy. It's not just somebody else. It must be. He has chosen and he has called you to live differently than you see everybody else living. He's called you and elected you to be on mission with him. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's another passage, if you're taking notes. Again, four different ones we're going to look at today. It's Hebrews. You can turn there, write in your notes, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And the author of Hebrews says this to this topic of you and I are on a journey. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. In another translation, it says the author and the perfecter of your faith. That means he who has started a good thing in you, he is the author of faith, and you will see it through the process step by step throughout your life until you are made perfect, which is when we stand face to face with Jesus. It's a process that we are on. For the joy set before him, referring to Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What is the author of Hebrews saying? Life is not guaranteed to be easy when you follow Jesus. We have committed as pastors of this church to preach the gospel, to tell you the truth, and sometimes that truth stings. But we've committed ourselves. I'm not going to say I've lost friends, but I know that sometimes when I say something, when I'm up here preaching, or Nick, or Aaron, or Heather, or Evan, or Jesse, whoever it is, that we are committed to preach truth to you, even though it stings. Even though you may try to read between the lines and think that I'm judging you, because you know, some of you I know, some of you I don't know at all. But I'm not doing that at all, because here's the reality. We are committed to sharing truth with you. And the reason why is, in this passage specifically, is Jesus suffered. And if you follow him, if you make this choice, you'll suffer. Other things will go better because you'll be getting rid of things in your life and following after him. Some of the self-inflicted wounds that we go through and trials. But in other ways, you'll become a target. Does that make sense? Jesus said they'll hate you because they hated me. I don't want you to be confused and leave here and think if I give Jesus, you're my one thing and I give you it all, then everything goes well. The reason why we preach truth, even though I may lose friends or have people that don't like me or man, who do you tell me what to do, is because I actually love you. And all the dudes just felt real weird because when one dude says they love you to another dude, especially when you don't know him, it gets weird. Pastors don't get into this role because we're going to make a lot of money. We don't get into this role because of fame or fortune. We get into this job because it's a calling, because I actually care what happens in your life. I actually want you to know that Jesus loves you and sees you, has a plan for you. There's some things you need to get out of your life. There's some things you need to add into your life. Why? Because Matthew 25, Jesus clearly describes for us that every single one of us will stand face to face with him, and he will separate all people into two categories. Do you remember what they were from Matthew 25? Anybody? Sheep and the goats. There's this picture where he says he'll separate all people into two categories, the sheep and the goats. And to the sheep, he will say, you did. You came to me when I was hungry and you gave me food. You came to me when I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. When I was naked and had nothing, you came and you gave me clothes. When I was in prison, you came to me and visited me. And they'll say, when, Lord? When did we visit you? I think I would remember if I visited you. When did I help you in any of these ways? And Jesus says, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Enter into your rest. And to the goats, he will say, depart from me, you wicked ones, into everlasting fire created for the devil and his angels. Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was no clothes and naked, you didn't come to me. You didn't visit me in prison. I don't know you. And that's the difference. And they say, some of the goats end up saying, well, what do you mean? We preached your name and we told people about you. And he said, but I never knew you. Church, I want you to hear me. If you don't walk away with anything else from today, this is one of the scariest passages in Scripture to me as a preacher. I'm not just saying this. This is actual truth. This is a transparent moment. I lied awake at night several times this week because this verse is a mirror that I have to reflect myself into. And you would say, well, you're a pastor, aren't you? No, there are going to be people who were pastors that he's going to say, I never knew you. And the temptation for me, which I'm really good at, is to start doing a lot of things for God, but the priority is that I know him. And so why do I speak truth when I'm up here? Why do I at least want you to be aware? Because I don't want you to stand on that day and you find yourself in a group that you didn't think that you would be a part of and you thought you were good. And you said, I didn't know. Jesus, I had pastors, but they never told me this. When we preach this, it's because we want you to understand that there is a different way to live when you are marked by Christ. And it's a process of taking steps, and it needs intentionality, like education, like your profession, like your health, like anything. Let me give you two more passages. Of course, got to hit the Apostle Paul. In two different places, the Apostle Paul illustrates this idea. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. It's going to sound similar to what we just read in Hebrews. Paul says this, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? This idea of a race, this process of a faith journey, says run it in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. That's intentionality. They do it to get a crown that will not last. They do it to get a trophy that sits on a shelf and collects dust. They do it to get their name spread so everybody knows who they are. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Similarly, he says in Philippians chapter 3, a different letter to a different church, Paul says this, starting in verse 1. He says, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, as it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. I don't put my confidence in what I can do. I don't put my confidence in being able to check off a list of boxes of things I should or should. I don't put any confidence. We don't put confidence in the flesh. We put it in faith in Christ. Verse 4. Paul says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence if I wanted to, of the flesh. He says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And now he lists off his credentials. You ready for this? Paul says, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. What he's saying is Jesus was a Jew, I'm a Jew, and by birthright, nobody has. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. There's 12 tribes. Here's my qualifications. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He goes on. He goes in regard to the law, because that's what they lived by up to that time. He says, I was a Pharisee. I was a religious leader. I had more knowledge about this stuff than anybody else. Here's my credentials. As for zeal, somebody who's actually putting action to their word, I persecuted the church. And for some that are like, I'm really confused, right? I thought he was writing to the church, but now you're saying he's persecuting the church. Paul was an educated Jew and a Pharisee. And before he had his life-changing moment with God on the road to Damascus, this Jesus movement was blasphemous. And so his duty to God, as the Pharisees did, and many of those that believed the way they did, is to persecute and kill Christians to squash this blasphemous movement. He says, you want to talk about zeal? I put my money where my mouth is, man. I did all of these things. And I love this last part. He says, as for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. I checked every box. I didn't do anything sinful. It became this list of stuff. If I were able to brag like others, I could do it more than anyone else. But then he says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Come on, that is a powerful line. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this, Paul says. He's still in process. He's still on the journey. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Peter, the author of Hebrews, the apostle Paul, clearly describe a process or a journey that they're on and we are on. And even Paul's clear at the end to define that he hasn't arrived yet. This is the apostle Paul. Everybody is looking to him, the best church planner the planet has ever seen. He's writing this letter to the Philippians as he sits in jail because he's preaching the gospel. He's putting his money where his mouth is because I haven't arrived yet. His journey wasn't complete and wouldn't be until he reaches heaven. And so what do we do with this as a church when we hear these words and we hear these thoughts? When we understand that we're all on a journey of faith, we understand that every journey begins and continues with a next step. Whether you're here today and you were invited by somebody, and if we were to talk about the bookends of a journey of faith, you would say, man, I'm towards the beginning. I'm not even sure if I'm on it yet. I'm not sure what I think about God. I'm not sure about this Jesus thing. Or whether you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're like, I've been following Jesus my whole life and I'm dedicated to him and I give, no matter where you're at, the question is still applicable to all of us and anywhere in between. It's the question that we've been building towards this entire series, and the question is simply this: what is your next step on your faith journey? For some, maybe just the epiphany of going, I didn't really understand. It's actually a journey. I got to be intentional about it. I got to invest in that like I invest in these other things that I'm pouring my time and resources into. And if that is your next step of a realization, great. I want to give you just a couple. This is not an exhaustive list, but I want to help be practical in some next steps, no matter where you're at in process or where you're at on that journey. You might be asking the question, right? I don't know what my next step is. I'm not sure. And can I tell you this? That's okay. Where you are is okay. What's not okay is for you to stay there. Does that make sense? Amen. Let me give you some practical next steps. Number one, reading scripture daily. And some of you are like, are you kidding? I can't even read it monthly. I can't even, you want me to do this every single day? I want you to commit. A next step is to get in the Word, get into Scripture daily. It doesn't have to be for 4 hours a day or 3 hours a day or for an hour, but pick an amount of time that you can do and start this, because some incredible things take place when you and I are in Scripture. I'm going to give you some practical things that take place. There was a study done a few years back by two different organizations. Barna is a big research company that will go out specifically and survey a ton of people all over interdenominationally and ask some questions. They didn't even have a specificity to what they were really looking for, but they knew that it was, we want to know the impact that Scripture actually has on people's lives. And as they started, one of the greatest things they found was not something they actually set out to find, but in the course of this study, and another one, another organization, some stats that I'm going to read is from the Center for Bible Engagement, is as they started this study, they found that when people responded, when it came to frequency of engaging with Scripture once a week, maybe it was just the Scripture they go through on a Sunday morning, maybe, it had negligible effect tangibly in their everyday life. They noticed that people responded that if they engaged with Scripture just twice a week, still a negligible impact practically in their life. At three times a week, there started to be a blip on the radar. Some people start saying, yeah, I'm noticing some changes with these different things. There's tons of questions that they asked in this survey. But what they found incredibly was that when they hit four times a week, the number spiked off the chart, what people responded, they noticed in their life practically. I'm going to read you just a couple of them. For people said that when they engaged Scripture just four times a week, didn't say a specific amount of time each time, but just regularly being in the Word, these were some of them, that 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. For people who engaged with Scripture four times a week, they were 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. Anger issues dropped by 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped by 40%. Alcoholism dropped by 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops by 60%. And then the numbers get crazy. They were 228% more likely to share their faith with somebody else that they know by being in Scripture four times a week. The ability and the desire to disciple others to help them take steps on their faith journey jumps 230%. When they engaged with Scripture four times a week. And they were 407% more likely to memorize Scripture. There are practical things that start to change in our lives when we make it a priority and we're active to engage our faith journey and make a commitment to do it. And church, I know, I don't know if I have time and I don't want to wake up that early and I don't know where to start. There's all these hurdles of why we won't. Maybe that's your step. I'm going to engage with Scripture regularly. I'm going to make a target of every day. I'm going to carve out time to do this and watch what begins to happen in you. Let me share a few other just next steps in no particular order. Next one is attend church regularly. It got real quiet. Like nobody's like, everybody held their breath for a second. That's actually too vague. Let me say this way. I want to see you in church every single week. Not because I need more people in the seats and that makes me feel like a better pastor and Nick feels like he's got a bigger church. If you don't know us by now, that has nothing to do with why what we do. Why do I want you here every single week? Because I know you're better when you come, and I know we're better when you're here. I know that when you engage, God does something in your life and you get closer to Him. You become a better husband and a better father and a better wife and a better mother and a better son and a better daughter and a better grandpa and a better grandma when you're here. And I know that some of you are like, okay, move on past this one because that's not going to happen. I know all of the reasons why you can't. I know about the sports and the traveling, but man, I really want to watch all the games today. We had a really crazy day on Saturday, and I'll just tune in online, which, by the way, I love the ability to tune in online. Good morning to all those tuning online, by the way, whatever camera. There we go. But if you're local, and I say this to them online every single week, I usually host out there for our online campus. If you're local and you're close, I say this every single Sunday at the end. I would love to see you here. There are some individuals that can't because of health reasons. They can't get out and can't drive. Sometimes it's an age thing, and so they don't have the ability to come, and so they need something like that. But for those that are able to come and be here, be here. There's something different that happens inside the building when you interact with other people around you. If you're parents, I simply want to say this. You don't have the affordability to just watch from home because your kids get nothing from what we do online. There's no way to recreate that. As you stand before God on that judgment day, you and I that have kids, we will first stand an account. Do I know you and does he know me? Do I know you? Second, we will stand an account for how we treat our spouse and how we raise our kids beyond anything else. And then from there is how do we share Jesus with all of those around us? If you are a parent in here, coming to church every single Sunday is vital for you. And some are gonna say, this is impossible, can't make it happen. You know, we sang that song this morning. I don't want anything else. I don't need anyone else. You are my one thing. When really we're singing, and should be, as I said, singing the words, well, you're kind of one of the things that we do. Be at church regularly every single week is a step that will help you on your journey. Here's a few more. Maybe for some of you, you're kind of on the side of the spectrum of the journey of going, man, I'm not sure about Jesus. I'm kind of on the fence and I feel the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart, but I haven't made that commitment to Jesus yet in salvation. The Bible says all you have to do is profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, repent of your sins, and you'll be saved. Maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe the next step for you, if you put your faith in Jesus and you've yet to be water baptized, is baptism. It's a clear biblical next step. In fact, it's gonna happen. We're gonna party like crazy next week. Next Sunday is baptism Sunday. We're gonna have two tanks up here because we gotta have enough time because we only have two services, two gatherings instead of four. It's a party, but maybe that's your next step to go public with your faith. I know there's reasons. I'm scared. I don't wanna be in front of people. You're gonna make me talk. Come on, push through. Be intentional. Grab a hold of. Make every effort, as Peter said. Here's another one. Man, I'm just not connected at church. I just don't feel like I really know anybody. Connect in a Grove Men. Men, you saw it on the announcement video. We got a Grove Men coming up. It's actually the first time we've done a men's breakfast on a Saturday morning. Come and be a part of it. And I know some of you are like, man, that's not really my vibe. That's not really my thing. I can feel kind of weird sitting around tables with guys. Well, take a step to get connected. You can't get connected without stepping out to get connected. Women, same thing. Grove Women, women's conferences, men's conferences, life groups. Here's the funny thing happened in the last gathering. I looked up on the screen and it didn't say life groups. It said wife groups. We're not that kind of church, okay? We're not. That's a typo. Not wife groups, life groups. But I get it. Oh, now I got to sit in a circle with like 10 to 12 other people, 15 people, and then I got to talk. I got to be vulnerable. Yes, step out in your faith journey and watch what God will do when you take that next step. A couple more and I'm done. Serving. Find the opportunity to jump in and serve here at the Grove. If you call the Grove Church home, that's who I'm talking to. If you're trying to figure this out or you're visiting from another church, please go back if you're a part of another church and do this at your church that you're a part of. My dad always said it like this, Ryan, you are one of seven kids. We're a big family and we all pitch in. This is our family. We all split the chores. We all do this stuff. We're in this together. If this is your home church and you're fed here and you're encouraged here and you're challenged here and your students getting challenged here and encouraged here and built up here and you got kids and Grove kids right now, come and join the team. Come and be a part. Find a place to jump in, whether it's greeting people at a door, whether it's helping people park out in the parking lot to make it a little bit easier. Speaking of the parking lot, I just wanna say this. To anybody who rides a shuttle, can I just say thank you? Our biggest lid as a church is our parking lot right now. We have to shuttle hundreds of people every Sunday, and it is more inconvenient to park at a thing at the Marysville Middle School, jump on a shuttle and come here. I get it, it's much easier to park right out here, walk in when it's raining, when it's snowing, when it's freezing outside. Thank you for helping step out in that way, but can I also say this? If you're a CDL driver, with a passenger endorsement, I feel the Holy Spirit is putting his hand on you right now and saying, son or daughter, I need you. And I will tell you, I need you. Aaron needs you. Evan needs you. Aaron's up here like, good word, man, preach. No, we need it. Hunter says, hey, man, we need more electric guitar players. If you're out here and you're an electric guitar player and you can shred and you love Jesus, you need to get signed up. Easiest way, if you want to jump into serving, always, or find out any information about the church, go to our website, grove.church, download the grove.church app. There's ways to get connected. At the top is always the fields that are kind of the titles. Get connected. It's going to talk about life groups. It's going to talk about a lot of different things. You can find your team. That is the portal to get involved in volunteering. Or you can go right out to the hub, information center in the lobby, just say, hey, I'm interested in getting volunteering. Where do I go? How do I find out more information? Events are always under the event category. Get connected. Take a step. Three more and I'm done. Seven more. I'm just kidding. Generosity. I'll say this boldly. In the same way my dad told me about the idea of chores and we're all a team, he said, man, we all pitch in, we all help out. If you call the Grove Church home and this is your family, there's no better opportunity to give and partner with financially than the mission of God. And I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Yeah, there's televangelists, there's all this stuff. Again, why I say for online, it's better to be here in person. Like community, challenging, rubbing elbows with one another and figuring out how to do this, and iron sharpens iron, and how can I help you, and hey, I need help now, and we're learning together, we're on the journey. Like, this is your home, come and jump in. I believe that God has called all of us, because everything I have, everything you have, I preached on this a few months ago, isn't because you're really smart. It's not because I'm really talented or really charismatic. It's not because I worked really hard, and it's not because you really built it. It's because God gave you and I the ability to do that. It's all his anyway. There's no funner thing to do than say, I'm in. God, if you're real and if you're out there and you're on a mission and you've called and elected me, I'm in. What do I got to do? And just take a step. And I also want to add one more thing. I feel like I have to say this. Send the first to say it now. We're all gifted in certain ways. Bible's clear about that. With giftings, spiritual giftings, with natural abilities, we're all gifted in different ways. Some individuals are gifted with the unbelievable ability to build wealth. And if that's you, you know who you are. More than just the regular giving from day to day, you've got an ability to do something different. And right now, you are investing money in so many other things, your business, your something else, somebody else's business, something towards your future, which is all fine. It's all great. But can I tell you, it is so fun to be on mission with God. And I believe God is saying, some of you I've gifted with this incredible, you have the Midas touch, and I've called you and given you that because I want you to invest into the mission of God. It's not, my paycheck's not gonna go up because you give. I don't need you to give. God takes care of what we do, but he's called all of us to step out so more people can find what we found. Does that make sense? Last two. You've heard Pastor Nick talk about this. Explore, engage, lead. How do we develop a discipleship system for our people to take steps? This is what the whole series is about. And so we developed three classes, if you've missed any of this, over the course of the last few weeks. There's explore. After explore, there's engage. And after engage, there's lead. And in between those big classes that we all come together and do, there's other steps in between each of those. How to study the Bible class. Maybe you take the step of baptism. Maybe you cross the line of faith and salvation. There's all these other steps that will happen in between, but three simple classes. This is what I'm asking you to do. Take a step. Pastor Nick said this a few weeks ago. Man, I hope that we can get 300 people at the first Explore class that we're gonna do on January 23rd. I want to go a step further. I want everybody there. I want all of you there, whether you've been following Jesus your whole life, you're a member here, or whether you just walked through the door today and you're like, man, this feels like my home. Maybe I'll start to do it. Wherever you're at in the process, come to Explore on January 23rd. You can scan that QR code. February 23rd. Did I say January 23rd? Whew. I feel like I am in the fourth gathering normally, but we don't have that anymore, so it's not an excuse. February 23rd, 5 to 7 p.m., right here, dinner all together, tables. We'll go through the class together. Nick has mentioned the magazine, the discipleship magazine they would put together. And we'll go through it together. It's childcare, we'll have dinner. And then in spring, we will have Engage. And those that went through Explore can jump into Engage. And then there'll be new people that weren't able to do Explore that will jump into Explore. We'll all come into the same place here together and eat. And then we'll split and go to the two different classes. And then in the fall, there's Lead. And those that have done Explore and Engage will jump into Lead. Those that did Explore will engage. You see the process that I'm talking about. Take a step and be here. Cancel out the reasons why you can't. Come and actively make every effort to take a step in your faith journey. And the last is this, and I'll pray. Maybe you're here this morning, and regardless of where you're at on the spectrum, it's kind of like, man, I'm just not quite sure if I'm ready to sell out everything. I'm not. You know, Ryan, if I'm honest with you, I'm here because my wife wants to come and we got invited from some friends, or I just happen to see a sign that's out here. I love Jesus, but I don't know if I want to be a Jesus freak. It sounds like kind of weird. And I see some people that I knew when I was in high school. I just don't know how I feel about this. I'm not sure about that song, Give Me Jesus. You can take everything else. I'm not sure. if I'm on board with that. I'm not sure what I feel about that. Here is a next step that you can take, as I want you to pray the most dangerous prayer you could ever pray. I prayed this when I was 15 and a half years old. And the prayer goes something like this. God, I think you're real, but I'm not 100% sure, Jesus, if you're the only way. I'm not 100% sure about selling out with everything that I have. I'm not sure about how Peter and the author of Hebrews and Paul talks about throwing everything away like garbage. My business, you want me, it's scary to think about what I might have to give up. But God, if you're real and if I'm missing something, if I'm unaware of something, I don't want to end up in the wrong group of people when you come calling. And so I need you to speak to me. I need you to show me. If there's stuff that I'm involved in that I shouldn't be, if I'm not being the dad to my kids or the mom to my, God, if I'm missing something, I just give you permission. I want to know. You pray a dangerous prayer like that, can I tell you, I'll give you a money back guarantee. You will never come to me. Nobody that has ever prayed that prayer has come back and said that was the worst prayer I ever prayed because it made my life worse. There are some people that are still in process going, man, I prayed that prayer and nothing's happened. If you pray that prayer authentically, if you pray that prayer regularly and you mean it, I promise you God will show up and he will change your life for the better. Not for the easier. Not for the, oh, it's just easy coasting from here. No, but it will be better in every single way possible. If that's you, maybe that's your step. God, I need to know if you're real. Jesus, I need to know. Interrupt my life, interrupt my situation, because I need more of you. Amen? Let me pray for you today. God, we engage this conversation understanding that all of us, no matter where we're at, are on a journey with you. And the truth is we're in different spots, different places. And God, it's okay to be in that place as long as we don't stay there. And so God, I pray for courage for my brothers and sisters using the words of Peter and the author of Hebrews and Paul, that we're in this together, that we're a family together. And God, I pray that they have the courage to ask that question, to pray that dangerous prayer, to figure out what is the next step. Can I be intentional about my faith journey, not passive about my faith journey? And God, I pray that you come in like a flood. God, I pray you come in ways and you fill them with things that they never thought their life would be like. God, that you'd make aware to them your purpose and your calling, and that on that day that you come to divide us, to separate us, and we stand in judgment, that God, we would be found with the sheep, that we would be found saying, I know you and you know me, because that's the most important thing. God, give us courage, each person, to take whatever next right step is for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.